Well, hello everyone. Today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. We're going to be looking at the subject of walking wise. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, is the intimate message of how to live simply and godly, leading simple and godly lives, far from the cares, far from the exasperations of this world. We are in a messy place, there's no doubt about that. But we are not partakers with the mess, quite the opposite. We exercise the ministry of reconciliation and carry the invitation in Christ's stead, and it is wide open to everyone. And to look at walking wise in this world, we'll begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and it's the verse we closed with last week. It's in the English Standard Version. I really liked this, the way that some of the verses are worded. Starting in verse 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Now, moving on to chapter 5, verses 1 in the English Standard Version, we'll continue. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talking, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving." Picking it up in verse 8. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." Going on to verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." And as we endure the tribulations involved in traveling through this world, redeeming the time is a wonderful fruit of our walking in God's wisdom. God, knowing all about the world, he has promised to lead us, make our way straight, direct our steps, grant us the desires of our hearts, answer our prayers, and that's just to name a few phrases throughout the Word of God where he has promised us so many wonderful, wonderful blessings and leading us and directing us and granting us. And as we've been seeing in Proverbs, the word hidden in our hearts determines the quality and value of the words that pass across our lips to the outside. Wouldn't we desire above all a treasure trove of truth that's tucked away in that inner man, so the Holy Spirit has plenty to work with as God, by way of his gift, directs our wise walks? Then in verse 17, we continue, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Now, debauchery is self-indulgence. It just means it's a situations come up where we're tempted and fun and good times or for whatever personal gain or feel good or whatever. We set aside our moral restraints in the face of that temptation, and we do otherwise. We don't stick to the word. So, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, we voluntarily arrange ourselves under the faithful hand of our Almighty God's will, and then we honor our sacred choice with faithfulness and truth. And really, the only thing we have to lose in the deal is contamination. We lose out on the dirt, the corruption of the world that pollutes our minds and hearts, until it's just able to make us become men and women most miserable. You know, we have every good thing to gain. Look at Psalm 81, verse 11. This is in King James. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the exhortation here that we're going to read is very similar to Ephesians 5 that we just read. We're going to read 1 Peter 3 starting in verse 8 in the New International Version, the NIV. All of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Now, it's kind of interesting, and I do want to point this out. We can see there are several must-do expressions in these few verses, and we've often heard and maybe said that the only thing one must do is get born again. And, you know, that is very true concerning eternal life. But if we want to experience a blessed union with God and enjoy the power of His might, if we want to live a tranquil life in the middle of a world of tribulation, there are a few more must-dos having to do with walking wise, having to do with walking in that harmony, in that wonderful, precious fellowship with our Father. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And the reason is because the people who do evil have turned their back on His face. That's why His face is against it. His face is at their back. When we are according to His will in our hearts, He is attentive to our prayers. And look at the benefits. Verse 13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. You know, in our pure hearts of walking with God and our desires to keep His commandments, there is not one thing to be afraid of. Not even one. Not even death. Because our future is sealed. Our future is solid. Death could take me by surprise in the next breath. But you know what? I have eternity. Once the Lord returns and the dead in Christ rise and we join the saints who are already, who are there alive at the return, we will all live eternal. And I like that song by Alan Jackson. Then we can just stroll across heaven. Absolutely. Hand in hand, right? So, you know, fear is the companion of unrighteousness and self-condemnation and the fear that we're not good enough, the fear that we've sinned one too many times for God to be able to carry us into the eternal life. No, that's, you know, that's not our lot in life. Verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, it's interesting. Over the last few years, we used to have a patio kind of hidden away. Not that we hid it away. That's just the way the house was designed. But we had a patio sort of in our backyard. And people would say, you know, we went past your house in our golf cart last night and we wanted to stop in, but we didn't see you out. And we would say, oh my gosh, we were on the back patio. And we missed that opportunity to get together. So over the past few years, we've kind of worked in front of our home to make a little paver patio area with some, you know, nice colorful flowers, some inviting chairs, and just to make it more inviting for neighbors to stop by for a chat. And as we visit with various folks, I would say 9 out of 10 mention how hostile, all the hostile overtones, how they're becoming the norm when they're out and about in town or in nearby town, or they drive into Chicago, which isn't too far from South Bend. You know, the drivers are vulgar, customers are disrespectful. Salespeople are just ill-mannered. The devil has brought about a complete flip. Instead of loving our neighbors, the evil assault is underway, where every individual somehow is entitled and away with anyone in their way. You know, we might wonder why, but it is pretty clear when we consider that people have lost sight of their true identity, and of course some never had sight of their identity. But hey, we have to admit initially the bait is clever. The bait is very clever, and the false narratives are intriguing, and they're everywhere. There is no side of the aisle where the narratives are the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. But they seductively move us emotionally. They move our feelings to reshape our thoughts and attitudes. And eventually, it leaves our unguarded hearts in a lurch. And like 1 Peter 3:15 read, believing ones are the voice of love and hope. That's who we are. So we determined to walk a wide swath around the negative discourses and remain in Christ as we travel through this world. I saw a sign the other day and it read, turn off the news channels and go love your neighbor. Well, you know, there's other things besides news channels that capture our allegiance or vie for our allegiance, I should say. But, you know, the point is, go love your neighbor. That's the point. Identify with Christ and fulfill the work he gave us charge to do. Children of the Most High, we don't have any common ground with any of these worldly causes out there. They're not our causes. They're not our issues. And you know what? They are not our problems. But because of the scriptures, we know and understand. We can still have compassion. We can speak with them, have lunch with them. We just don't get caught up, but we remain certain in our hearts that there is only one solution for all of the ramped up, emotionally charged causes, and that one solution is our Lord and Savior. In Christ is the answer, and the wisdom of Christ always has the solution. So, you know, coming back to that, we think about the power and the importance of words. And I was thinking about Genesis this week. Consider how God spoke words and everything came into creation and existence as he spoke words. Let there be light. Yes. Psalm 33:6, this will be in the New Living Translation. Oh, the Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the ocean in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear, respect the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation! What joy for the nation whose God is their Lord, whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. You know, those scriptures put some insight into the truth that the tongue really does have the power to kill, or according to God's will, to make alive. And I realize some of these scriptures we're reading are stern, and I believe God intended them to be stern warnings. Words are serious business, contrary to what the world tries to tell us. Oh, it's just words. You know, just words. Oh, I just said that off the top of my head. You know, words can kill the motivations and inspirations in our souls. And words can mutilate relationships. Boy, think about it. Look around you. Recall friends you've had in your life, or maybe even your own life's experiences. Words can mutilate relationships that only the Lord Jesus Christ could ever, ever heal. And of course, that has happened. And that will continue to happen. And if we have erred in the guarding of our hearts, or if unkind words have escaped in a moment, we still should focus on the correction. Being humans, being sons of God, I mean, oh, holy cow. I know I'm among those who have allowed the carnality of the world to catch me off guard, where I just get, you know, just a flash of some kind of emotion, and boy, something comes out that I did not want to say. But again, a warning is just that. It's beware. Our focus is never to be on how bad we have been, because in an instant, we recognize that. But our focus is to be on how righteous we are. And if that sounds like that avoids accepting accountability, then honestly, we should pray for a greater understanding on the subject, because it is actually just the opposite. It's a very humbling experience for the Word of God to pierce our hearts and to hit the and then for us to get up, hit the ground running back to God versus wallowing in despair and unworthiness and just making the whole matter worse. Sure, there are things we have to backtrack and apologize for with people and to make sure that we've communicated our true hearts to them. I'm not saying we just get up and move on and and we don't consider the person we said the words to, but the words could have been self-talk. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, King James, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And look at this verse 6. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You see, that's the way back. We are prepared. We have a readiness to revenge a previous failing. Now, the word revenge, in a godly context, it means to vindicate one's right or to do one justice. That's the vengeance of God. So the word revenge in the godly context means that we do ourselves justice by our readiness to obey after a previous disobedience. And speaking words from our hearts that promote nourishment to our own soul life and or to the life of another is our aim. People may think the emphasis is on what we say, and it is. However, if we speak what we think, then where should our watchfulness be? Wouldn't it be more on what we think, so that then what we say will accomplish what God sent it to do? And David had this to say in Psalm 141, verse 3, King James, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." And the guard over our mouth is the word hidden in our hearts, and the personal boundaries flowing from the word. And of course, the Holy Spirit within us is a very big part of working with all of those dynamics to guard our mouths. We read from the scripture about guarding the heart because what's in the heart brings to bear the way we live. With the word hidden there and in agreement with the Holy Spirit, our hearts become our safeguard. And that's why our care in keeping it is so vital. Guard your heart with all diligence. And as for our minds, well, we know all too well, thoughts can be here one minute and somewhere totally different the next. So as the heart is hard at work, cycling and recycling thoughts based on what's flying at us in the moment, mixed, of course, then with any emotional responses, reactions, it's that grounded inner man of the heart with the Holy Spirit there at the center that rescues us in those disconcerting moments. That is walking wise. And walking wise means talking wise. And we should all be encouraged to read through Proverbs about the effects of our words. There's many, you can hardly read a chapter without at least one mention, and some two or three. You know, consider their power for cursing. Consider the greater power for the blessing. And then we can make an informed commitment to speak blessings from our hearts. We believe not only they will be uplifting and healing, but that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention those words, those thoughts appropriate and powerful for the need at hand. For out of a wise heart, guess what? Wisdom speaks. And we all I know it is in all of our prayers that we mature to walk the wise walk and speak from the abundance of the wisdom of God and of Christ that we do have in our hearts. So God bless you. God bless your hearts. Hope all of you enjoy this long upcoming weekend, and we'll be with you again next week sometime. God bless.